Hello, everyone. My name is Frederick Gieschen. I write the Necker Substack, and today I'm going to do something new. I'm going to be reading out my recently published piece, Gratitude, Desire, and a Money Paradox. So if you've already read it, just fair warning, this is just going to be me reading out the piece for anybody who prefers an audio version. All right, let's go. Desire is a contract that you make with yourself to be unhappy until you get what you want. Naval. I once dated a woman who was building her own jet charter company. She was one hell of a self-made entrepreneur and a beautiful spirit to boot. One late night, we talked about death, and she told me that if she had to die the next day, she would do so in peace. She was completely in sync with her life, with who she was, and what she wanted to do. Now to me, death was frightening. I felt like I hadn't even begun to live my life. I felt no pride in what I was doing. Whatever gift I had to offer the world, I knew I was not tending to it. Time was a-wasting. And it was easy to for her to feel at peace, I thought. She was accomplished. Me? I was worrying about money, the future, and my place in the world. Now, a couple of months ago, I pursued a new habit. Every night, I pulled out a pad of paper and filled a blank page with answers to the question, what do I want in life? This exercise was based on Jim O'Shaughnessy's excellent six-part thinker-prover thread. Unearthing my desires was painstaking work. At first, the pages contained mimetic clutter. There were objects, achievements, and other external measurements of success. Things like, I want to make 500 grand a year, or I want to be worth $5 million. Then there was, I want to own my own place in New York, and one in Florida for the winter, and one in the Alps, and in Italy, and let's not forget, I want to write books that sell millions of copies. Now, don't get me wrong, I would not reject any of this if it came my way, but these ideas were quickly overshadowed by the central tenets that emerged on the pages. Love, partner, family, community, friendship, and to pursue interesting and creative work, to learn, travel, and explore. Lastly, to be free and secure. More than anything, I want to follow my own path and share it with a partner, family, community, and the world at large. What I really want in life are experiences, activities, and states of being, not possessions. And yet, money was always on the page. Sure, some amount of money is needed to live comfortably, and more if you live in an expensive city or if you raise a family. But the numbers I put down had no intrinsic meaning and kept changing all the time. There is no specific amount of income or wealth that I'm looking for. Being rich is not actually important to me. Neither is having an investment track record or achieving success as a founder or professional investor. More often, money showed up implicitly. It was the quicksand on which other desires seemed to rest. Money would provide freedom and security. Money would allow me to travel and pursue whatever work I found rewarding. Money was the wall behind which I could shield myself from the world's pressures and do as I please. I realized that my desires required time and attention much more than money. It was a paradox. What I wanted was to not ever have to worry about money again. Instead, all I worried about was money. As Tim Ferriss once said, an obsession with security breeds a feeling of insecurity. Money was supposed to provide safety. Instead, an obsession with money made me feel anxious and inadequate. I failed to appreciate what I already had. To reach an imagined state of freedom, I focused my time and attention on money. I encaged myself and ended up with neither. It turns out that the life of protecting yourself from your problem becomes a perfect reflection of the problem itself. You didn't solve anything. Michael Singer, The Untethered Soul. I was also setting myself up to feel miserable, because frankly, I haven't been very good at money, at making it, compounding it, keeping track of it, and protecting it. Using money as a scorecard was bound to lead to perpetual frustration, especially in a place like New York, which, as Paul Graham once wrote, tells you, above all, you should make more money. Longtime readers may remember that I fell in love last year before leaving New York for Germany. When I returned in May, I saw this woman again once before she ghosted me. But a few months ago, she returned to my life with an apology. My feelings for her were still very real, and with a mix of hesitation and excitement, I met her for dinner. Over wine and cheese, she lobbed a question at me. Was my house in order? I tensed up. I desperately wanted her back and was ready to shout, "Yes, 100%, my house is in order." But there it was, my inner voice of doubt. Was it? Was it really in order? The path I've chosen is risky. I have no idea whether writing will lead to financial success. I can't offer predictability, stability, or comfort. In comparison to her, who had just started a fabulous and very well-compensated new job, my house seemed shabby. But I have since realized that yes, my house is in order, and it is truly my house. For the first time in my life, I'm feeling a degree of comfort with who I am and with what I'm doing. I don't know what my path will look like. It's like one of those long walks through the woods near my hometown. Just me and the crunch of my boots in the snow. The forest is silent. Sometimes a lone branch tugs at my coat. But this time, there's a song in the distance. I know there's no turning back. I must keep walking and follow that feeling of deep emotional resonance. Future me is waving from beyond the trees. "Just keep at it," he whispers. Writing a novel is like driving a car at night. You can see only as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. E.L. Doctorow, quoted in Bird by Bird. I can't see further ahead than a few months, and I have to accept that I can't expect anyone else to join me on this path. Whether or not they do is not up to me. But I feel grateful for having found a sense of mission that I hope will guide me through life from now on. Rifling through my notepad made me realize that there are many things I want, but none are as important as being true to myself, now that I've finally found a trace of who I am. Nothing else worked out when I didn't know myself, certainly not money. I finally seen a glimpse of inner peace. Some days it touches my face like sunlight breaking through the clouds. There's no specific accomplishment or milestone that will make my life worthwhile. Walking is the reward. Following my own path is the peace. Pick your one overwhelming desire. It's okay to suffer over that one. Naval. Well, I did, and it's beautiful, and I'm incredibly grateful to all of you for being a part of it. Thank you.